I've got a presentation for you around the budget. I'll take you through it. You'll be pleased to know it. It's fairly slide heavy. I'm not going to focus on every slide. I'll make a couple of comments on a few of them in particular. But suffice to say, it has been an interesting time to set a budget. Anyone who's been doing that will know budgets at the best of times are uncertain documents. They're a snapshot at a point in time, and you hope the assumptions you make over the course of that financial year, and in case of state budgets, the 3 years after that, come about. This one is effectively almost out of date the moment you present it, because there's so many impacts happening around the globe on the assumptions, whether it be around, obviously, the highly watched iron ore price, Australian dollar, export volumes, what's happening in Brazil. All these things have a direct and immediate impact on, of course, the state budget. Now, do I need to point this any particular way? Here we go. Now I've gone too far forward, have I? Right. So this is really just to give you an idea of something you all know. The chart on the left being, the colourful one on the left, the blue, the dark blue being the advanced economies. This is really IMF data that we've put together. China is always one of interest for us, but of course you can see the dark blue there, what advanced economies have really the experience over the last, or this year, and what we're expecting over 2021. Obviously large contraction for the advanced economies for 2020 before moving back into a period of growth. Western Australia's story is similar to that, but really it's thus far been confined to the June quarter. The Chinese March quarter was a contraction. Now they're back into a fairly robust area of growth again. And I expect the December quarter for Victoria and Australia more broadly will be back into a period of growth. And that's really the chart on the right. You can see the large contraction there. We had a 6% contraction in that June quarter, which was, we've never seen that before in Western Australia. Unsurprisingly, when governments are making decisions around effectively closing an economy, that's the impact it has. But we did, for the 1920 financial year, still come in at growth over that year, just over 1%, 1.1%. So it gave you an idea of where we were in March, up to the 9 months up to the March quarter. The economy certainly had been gathering momentum, and all the, indeed, were coming in much higher in respect of what, compared to what we expected at budget time. This is our, you know, if Western Australia was a country graph that we like to do occasionally in Western Australia. This is a work out of that we pulled out of a bunch of economists in Oxford who did this analysis around the link between health responses and economic results, which highlighted the point that that we all know, of course, that those countries, including Western Australia, that had the strongest health response, that i.e. contained the virus the fastest and most most severe, had the better economic outcomes. And that just highlights that point. And certainly you'll see, I expect, for when the September data starts to come out, that large contraction will have very much been reversed. This is what drove the contraction. Households, unsurprisingly, households effectively stopped spending, in every area. I'll make some comments about that in the minutes, but household consumption, a large, nearly 10.5% contraction. As you can see, that data set on the left goes back to 2005, but the point being, that's actually when we started this data set. I suspect you'll never find a contraction of that size, even in the previous data sets that tried to measure this. But again, you're seeing that come back quite quickly as well. The makeup of that makes, and you can see the chart on the right, what we do know is that you were all renovating and drinking at home over that period. Alcoholic beverages and Bunnings were really where you were spending on your credit card. And credit card data has really been quite interesting. Up until COVID, the banks, I didn't get access to the credit card data that the banks have. And that's as close as we get to real time what is happening in the economy. And it really does highlight that the journey that Western Australia's been on. All the states are similar. Western Australia's ahead of all the states in terms of timing and levels. Victoria, I suspect, will now follow a similar path that we've been doing now for at least 3 or 4 months. But you can see what household consumption has been doing during that period of time. Transport services, the second from the bottom there. You would have seen some media recently on public transport patronage. That's now very strong again, which is a really good sign. And it means that the enormous quantity of money I've given to the PTA to clean their buses and trains is clearly working. Consumer confidence, no one in this room will be surprised with the chart on the left. We are in Western Australia back to a position where we're higher than we were 12 months ago, which is a good sign. A couple of things going on in there. Well, obviously, people in Western Australia are fairly confident. We've effectively have had a normal life now for the better part of the last 4 or 5 months. And also the Commonwealth. The Commonwealth's job seeker, in particular, policy response has been incredibly successful in, hence the chart on the right, retail. We haven't seen retail figures like this in some time. And that has been, we have an economy with a lot of cash in it. And the Commonwealth, I think, everything, there'll be PhDs done on this period of time, right, for the rest of our lives. You know, it's like JFK assassination. We'll be talking about this forever. And I think what will highlight is JobKeeper, JobSeeker, certainly historic policies for Australia. And the Commonwealth do need to be congratulated for that. Big effort that, of course, will have a lingering debt issue for us, but certainly sustainable and certainly, despite some of the critique, I think has done exactly what they wanted it to do. And it has kept a lot of people connected to work. And I'll make some comments around that connection to work again in a minute. This is what I was talking about before. This is from the ANZ, and you can see the journeys have been the same of all the states. We're the orange, so we're ahead of all the others, but the journey has been similar. And the three other major banks with their credit card data unsurprisingly, it's the same story. You can see there the bottom, the light blue being Victoria, but I expect that is about to take off in a way that will replicate the decline as well. That will take off strongly, I suspect. So this is really just highlighting the point that our consumers are back in the game. Again, as I emphasised by the fact that we do have a lot of job confidence in Western Australia, but also that a lot of cash floating around the system at the moment. And business confidence. I mean, you see that this is Australia. The one on the left is Australia and WA. It makes the point there that Western Australia being the dark blue, we're back business confidence above what we were 12 months ago. Back into a cycle of investment again. 1920, that 1.1% economic growth in 1920 was on the back of nearly 10% growth in business investment. First year of business investment growth in about 5 or 6 years, that the miners doing what the miners do, but it was about 60% of that business investment was the mining sector. So it's not just the miners who are back into that space of investment. And on the right there, you can see the seek new job ads. This is one that Treasury has been following for a while, just simply with the online job, advertisements, which is now above pre-COVID levels. This is not a surprise. I think every day in the media you're seeing now emerging conversations around skill shortages in various areas. We had to extend the Our Building Bonus, the period in which you commence construction, by 12 months now through to the end of calendar 2021, simply because there were clearly bottlenecks emerging and actually getting work underway. So I think, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Commonwealth follow with a similar decision around Home Builder. And this is the housing market. When the properties, I'm sure people, there's probably people here from the property sector, when they organise well, the property sector, I'll give them that. And when they came and to see me around the emerging cliff, and there clearly was a cliff, we have a shorter cliff of a pipeline of work in residential property than other states. It was either sort of May, September, depending which group was providing the data. So we constructed our building bonus, and the Commonwealth, of course, with their home builder. We were just focused on getting work underway, creating a pipeline of activity. So we really didn't have any limits on it. You don't have to be an owner occupier. There's no caps on value, etc. We wanted activity. It was what the focus was, and it has worked. It's worked in a way that I did not expect. The property sector said to me there was a lot of latent demand. I didn't believe it. I was wrong. There is clearly a lot of latent demand, not just in respect of returning Australians, which drove population growth to a quite high level in 1920, but just demand from first home buyers. So first home builders have been a big part of this activity. So we are bringing in activity. But it is a bring forward, there's no doubt about it. But the established property market as well has had a big impact as well. We are seeing transaction data for the established property market now higher than we were seeing it in 13-14. So there's a flow-on impact, and you'll see that in your suburbs. Properties come on, they're getting sold pretty quickly. And as a result, the chart on the right there, which is why we made the decision, well, a couple of decisions to amend our building bonus. One, initially you got access to the payment when you got a slab down. Apparently we have a hard to get concreters, so we changed that to effectively, you move some dirt around, you'll get payment, as opposed to a slab. And then but you had to get started by 30 June. We've extended that out now to the end of calendar 2021. That's, I think, a good thing. It's going to cost a lot more money, but I think what it will do is that'll extend the activity now deep into 2022, which is a good outcome, because we didn't want to be, and we're about to be, competing with for that same skill set as a state government with our infrastructure program as well. The mining sector, this is a story that you'll all be familiar with. You can see there on the left what drove that 1920, and again for 2021, we had a lot of work in the iron ore space, really, of course, replacing volume as mines deplete. The chart on the right, you can see that. The top lines are really WA 2019 and 2018, and 2020, but the bottom being Brazil. Brazil's still having trouble getting their volumes back to where they want it to be, but you can see they're ahead of where we thought they would be perhaps earlier this year. So even though they're still down, they're coming back. Volumes are coming back, and the price of iron ore it's not much more complicated than supply and demand. Having said that, I will never ever try to predict the price. That is well beyond me, despite the Treasury's best efforts to explain it. That's actually one for us for the budget. We budget on an iron ore price of the long-term average, so $64 is what we predicate our budgets on, which is why there is a lot more upside risk certainly in the 2021 financial year, bearing in mind the budget came down obviously in October, so well into the financial year, but we'll always predicate the price on your long-term average. It's dangerous not to do that. The Commonwealth are doing exactly the same thing. So there is upside risk around the iron ore price. Export income, you can see there, during the COVID period, it's really continued to be strong, as has the iron ore price, being the chart on the right. Just quickly with the labour market is recovering well. There isn't, every press conference, every month when I have to go out on the labour figures, it's my monthly nightmare, I go out, we sort of wait for the ABS to release it. There is a interesting interaction that I, again, have to go through the journalists every single month between the participation rate and the unemployment rate. We are focusing more now, all states are, on employment growth. And so the chart on the right there, you can see WA now down at 6.7%, after getting up to about 8.9% during the COVID peak. But again, this is, the participation rate has a dramatic impact. So we are now WA back to the long-term average participation in WA at 68%, not quite there, but nearly there. That's the highest of all the states. So you get some perverse reaction. So for Victoria, for example, they lost 35,000 jobs in the September month, but their unemployment rate went down simply because the participation rate collapsed. Whereas Queensland created 50-odd thousand jobs, employment rate went up, because the people coming back into the labour force. So there are, explaining that each month is always difficult, but the unemployment rate, you can look through that in terms of jobs per capita, and it's, WA is the highest jobs per capita now in the nation, which is a good sign. Indeed, there are, as I said before, skill shortages emerging. In May, I asked Treasury to, as best they can, provide me with a forecast. What did they think was going to happen over the next couple of years with the decisions that were made, bearing in mind this was in May. And at the time, the Prime Minister and the Premiers were still expecting the restrictions that we'd announced and implemented would be in that position through to September. If you think back, I mean, that's an incredibly long period of time in which to have applied those. Thankfully, we haven't had to. And so the data that Treasury gave me early on in May was diabolical. There's no way I was going to make that public. It would have destroyed confidence, I think, for a decade. But what we have seen as a result, though, is much better expectations. This is compared to December, the mid-year review update. And we are now expecting growth in the economy across the in each year across the forwards. 21-22, unsurprisingly, actually quite strong growth on the back of the 2021 likely to be the weaker year over the forward. So I'm encouraged by that, and we are also expecting to see, hence the employment growth statistic there. We are trying to look through a little bit the unemployment rate and simply have a better idea about job creation. Now, you've seen this is what's been driving all the treasurers. We had another treasurer meeting, the KIFA, the Council of Federal Financial Relations meeting this morning. We meet every 2 weeks. And the governor of the Reserve Bank has been very vocal in his public commentary, as he is when he briefs us, around his great worry is historically in these periods of great disruption, the 12 months after that, after the full impact of the disruption is when you see unemployment start to elevate, and then it's sticky for quite a long period of time. So he's very, very keen on governments keeping people connected to work. Hence the JobKeeper, job seeker policies, but also why all governments now are very heavy now in the infrastructure space. It's about trying to ensure that people stay connected to a job or increase the hours that they're willing to work. And this is the focus, but also the challenge of governments, because we're the first state out of the blocks with our budget. We've effectively replicated the Commonwealth spend. 2021-22 is the big spend, particularly for our infrastructure. Between 1920 and 2021, a 50% increase in our infrastructure spend. The difficulty is actually going to be spending that money. That has always been the issue for state governments. To the frustration of every treasurer in the nation is actually getting the money spent. And that is the effort for the states. But the issue is going to be, come about 22-23, you've got every state government. By the end of November, you'll see all the state government budgets. We're all doing the same thing. You've got every nation on the planet effectively doing the same thing. It's going to be a challenge of delivery around the world, and we'll be back into that space of global competition for skilled labour. You can see it already emerging, and hence there's a lot of effort going on in the political leadership, the national cabinet. What does it look like with again international travel? How do we actually attract and bring people in safely for Western Australia and Australia? So this is where I've got my 5-minute notice at the back. We are expecting operating surpluses across the forward estimates. People often don't realise that we report differently to the Commonwealth. The Commonwealth reports on a cash position. We report just on our operating balance, that is on the general government sector. You look at the bottom line, we are expected to run cash deficits, large cash deficits, certainly in 2021 and 21-22, but on the operating account, that is your general government spend, salaries, etc. We are still expecting to run operating surplus positions, which is a good outcome. And as I said, there is upside risk on the revenue, and not just on the iron ore price, but we have taken fairly conservative views around payroll tax, land-related taxes. But again, that we are seeing already on the land-related taxes better outcomes because of the stimulated property market. Expense growth at 8% for 2021 is high, but again, I think that's appropriate in this environment. And we are expecting net debt as a share of GSP to get to about 14.6%. We have to bring to book at mid-year review the Commonwealth's budget, which will add about another $1 billion in infrastructure spend over the forward estimates. This one here is the light blue mid-year review. In December last year, the world was wonderful. We were expecting strong operating surpluses across the forward estimates, so wonderful indeed. I thought I'd resign and go do something else. You can see, though, where we landed at budget time. We're about a $6 billion write-down in our operating position across the forwards. But again, a combination of relief, that is revenue that we're not expecting to take, whether it be payroll or license fees, etc., but also just revenue write-downs. Our asset spend at $27 billion is large, and on the left there you can see the large increase between 1920 and 2021. As I say again, the test is going to be in delivery, and the Department of Finance under Jody Cant's been given the role of and putting some a lot more resources into finance in their infrastructure delivery unit to ensure we actually get this delivered. It is infuriating as a treasurer to roll over hundreds of millions of dollars from one year to the other, particularly in this environment. I'll be very quick on these. You've seen most of these. Obviously, big effort now going into training. This is where the Commonwealth is as well. So we do need to, the reality is jobs will come back. Some jobs will never come back. So we need to be able to train our people to ensure they have the opportunity to take opportunities that they come along. Metronet now, there's nearly $6 billion in the budget for Metronet. By the end of this year, there'll be seven projects under construction in our Metronet package. The timing is perfect because some of these have been 3 years in the making and they're now really ramping up in the spend profile, which is great for local job opportunities. I see Rod Whittier sitting up the back there. ICWA, of course, we settled the Bell litigation, which I was so thankful I gave everyone $600 through their household electricity credits. That'll roll out from November, which is I think will be, you know, for people like my mother, for example, she won't get a bill for months. But nonetheless, I think it's a good thing to do to try and get that money back into households, which ideally for 70% of that we expect to be spent more broadly. Red tape, again, you're probably familiar with those. So the recovery plan is a large bring forward of work. So of the $5.5 billion in spend, a net debt impact of about $5 billion across the forward estimates, most of that in the next 2 years. And this is going to be the challenge that you're no doubt familiar with, is making sure we get that money spent and getting people connected to work and keeping people connected to work. And that is the great fear, if you like, from whether you're the Reserve Bank, who make it clear tax cuts don't deliver. It's infrastructure that delivers the better bang for the buck, and what we're trying to do with the balance sheet of the state. And the balance sheet of the state is actually still, with that ramp up in spend, still strong, and we do have the capacity to do more should we need to, particularly throughout the 2021 year. So thank you, everybody. Di, I think we've got Q&A. I look forward to your questions.